more.
Wow.
I guess with that, Kathy, we should start the interview, right?
Yes, Paula.
There's going to be a Tomlin party of five soon. You're expecting a little one.
Tomlin party of five. That's right. My third baby girl's coming.
You may know her from Full House or Fuller House as DJ Tanner, Candace Cameron Bure.
How are you?
I'm really good.
Times has life taken you in a new direction, one that you absolutely didn't see coming? Today's episode is so good, you guys. Real quick, for all the newcomers, if this is your first time here, I am so glad you're checking out the podcast. Holly Rollins writes this review. She says, Tuesdays have become a special day in the week because of this podcast, and you guys are so special to me. Thank you for writing those reviews. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. It's because of you that this can keep going. Okay, a little background for today's conversation. Five college buddies living in off-campus housing are supposed to be studying for exams. Instead, they record a trick shot, which then goes viral. And over a decade later, they are some of the largest YouTubers out there with a massive following. If you haven't heard of them, I guarantee you that every child in your life has. I'm talking with Dude Perfect.
Our parents thought it was funny, and I'm sure they thought it was really cool and funny for like a really short amount of time. And then they're like, wow, y'all are like still doing this. Are we gonna finish college here?
Yeah.
We started.
They're like, are you guys gonna get a real job ever?
Yeah, exactly. There's definitely that conversation.
That's Corey Cotton from Dude Perfect. He tells me about the moment they took that big jump, quit their jobs, and went all in on this thing that a lot of people weren't sure about. Now, their new book was the number one book on Amazon for weeks before it was even released, and it remains on top today. Their fans are global, fanatical. My kids freaked out when they learned that I was talking to them. Our family, we are big fans of the dudes, and I think you're gonna be too after hearing their journey of risk and reward, and also that one time Corey Cotton lost both of his eyebrows. Of all the people I've interviewed, and I've interviewed a lot of cool people, Michael Strahan and Lauren Daigle,
man,
and Candace Cameron and Harry Connick Jr., Tony Dungy, all they care about is Dude Perfect.
Oh, that's so great.
All they care about is Dude Perfect. You guys are doing great stuff. And thank you for being family friendly, which is hard to do in this day and age.
It's funny. We didn't really set out to, we just didn't think about it that way, right? We're just believers. And so that's kind of just the type of videos that ended up being made. And now that's what everyone says to us and we appreciate it, but it's just kind of who we are. So
it is who you are and it's an anomaly. And I will tell you, if you can get to the mothers, you're sold. You're sold. So, Corey, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
I mean, it's been number one for weeks before you guys even released it.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I think it's a cool cover. You know, it's a cool big book. And, you know, that's kind of what we wanted, right? We wanted to do a big book, lots of pictures. and it's fun. We haven't really ever done anything like this before. So we wanted to do something that was fun. And like you said, do something that the moms would say, yes, my kids are going to love this. Game over. Let's do it.
I mean, you have 50 million YouTube subscribers. This book has been number one on the charts for weeks. And it was just recently released. So it's been number one. In pre-release.
Right.
Does it all surprise you guys, the success of Dude Perfect?
100%. It surprised us at the beginning and it continues to surprise us. I mean, for whatever reason, we really don't know. God has just continued to bless the different things we're doing. Obviously, there's a lot of hard work that goes into it, but we're really appreciative of everyone that supports us, with everything as silly as our videos are, or our live tour, or our book. I mean, it's just crazy. I know we do have a lot of awesome fans and supporters, and so really just all thanks to them.
Well, you guys started this back in 2007. You were in college. You're now grown men. But take me back. So you guys met in college at Texas A&M. Is that correct?
Yep. And met in college, Texas A&M, almost 12 years ago, which is kind of hard to believe, and I think a lot of people don't believe it when they look at us. I'm sure we look a little bit older, but we dress exactly the same. I think our gym clothes and basketball shorts have gotten a little shorter. But besides that, wardrobe has stayed dialed in to the 12, 13 year old lifestyle, I think, for us. But yeah, it's been crazy that it's already been 12 years. Started in our backyard, like you said, kind of our junior year of college. We should have been studying for finals, and instead we made a fun video in our backyard and you know, did some fun shots. It was an all grass backyard, had a goal back there, so we couldn't really dribble. You could just, you know, take a funny shot. And so the shots got farther and farther away. A camera got involved, and I was the only one at the time that had a YouTube channel, because in 2009, YouTube was not really a very big deal. It had only been around for like 2 years, I think, if I remember right. And so I had also taken one video editing class in high school, and I threw something together. I put some music behind it, and it went up. And 2 days later, Good Morning America called and said, "Hey, can we use your video?" So we're running around screaming in the house, you know, like you'd imagine.
was this off-campus housing you guys were all living in?
100%. Okay. Yep, just a you know, bachelor house that's messy and, you know, dishes piled high, and we're running around screaming, saying this is fun. So we kept doing the videos, obviously, because it was just a fun thing to do, and our parents thought it was funny, and I'm sure they thought it was really cool and funny for like a really short amount of time. And then they're like, "Wow, y'all are like still doing this. Are we gonna finish college here?"
Yeah,
like we started.
They're like, "Are you guys gonna get a real job ever?"
Yeah, exactly. There's definitely that conversation. I think it actually got most real with a couple of the guys got married right out of college. The tall guy, Cody, he got married actually while he was still in school. So the funniest conversations were with the father-in-laws, and having to explain to them that this new thing of YouTube that it was back then were cat videos and people in their basement. So that was a tough conversation of, "Hey, I look like a nice guy, but I'm a YouTuber and I'm going to take care of your daughter, I promise." And it's just a tough sell, I think.
So you said it all started with this trick shot that went viral here on Good Morning America. And then you guys just exploded. Did y'all finish college? Y'all have degrees in something, right?
Did finish. Yes, we finished. I mean, the plans, if it hadn't turned into what it did, my brother and I were going to work for Apple corporate. Hopefully we had worked through the Apple store, just, you know, Mac specialist selling computers and headphones and stuff. Garrett actually got his master's in architecture. So if all this ever falls through, he's probably got the best job to, you know, fall back on. Cody was actually a youth pastor right out of school. Okay. And then Tyler wanted to be a park ranger. He got his wildlife degree. And so he just knows a lot about plants.
So when do you guys decide, okay, we have degrees, but clearly something's happening over here in this space with these videos that we're making. Let's go for it. Let's take a risk.
We started, and like, I mean, I said, we got some attention pretty quick, so that was good, but that certainly doesn't equate to money or supporting families, which, you know,
you have to sustain it. You have to sustain it.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. We fairly quickly had some companies start reaching out. We did a GMC TV commercial pretty quick, where we actually, you know, they came to us and they said, "Hey, I know y'all have only been in this for 6 months or whatever, but if you could do anything and make a shot out of, you know, from anywhere or whatever, what would it be?" And one of the guys said, "I mean, I guess we'd like to do a shot out of an airplane." And so that, we, looking back now, was a bold thing to request, because, you know, a couple weeks later we had an airplane. And there were, you know, 100 people from this TV commercial set out there. We'd never seen anything like that in our lives. And, you know, there's a crop duster airplane there, and Tyler gets in it and they go up, and all of a sudden we're like, "Oh my gosh, the cameras are rolling. They actually are expecting us to make a shot out of an airplane."
Yeah.
So he comes by for the first pass, and, you know, he's going fast. He's in an airplane. So we are on a walkie-talkie, just kind of trying to help him. So we're like, drop it. And he drops it and misses by over 100 yards. I mean, imagine, you know, missing by well over a football field's distance. There were cows somewhere far away. He almost hit a cow.
Oh,
and so all of a sudden we're like looking around at all these producers and people, and everyone's checking their watch, and it got awkward real fast.
Yeah.
And so we were like, "What did we get ourselves into?" And he circles back around, and on the second pass, all we could tell him was, "I mean, I guess you should drop it earlier."
Yeah.
Like, you were late.
Yeah.
So he drops it. Swish.
Are you
second
kidding
try.
Me? Oh,
so it was, they almost missed it, even the pros, because the first shot was so bad that they didn't have anything to practice with. Mm-hmm. So the camera, you can look it up online, you know, do perfect airplane shot, but it ended up being a really cool, popular TV commercial during the NBA Finals and FIFA World Cup. So again, God just made the ball go in, because I guarantee you we could try that again for weeks and probably never get it. It was a miracle.
But you make it look really easy. It's not like you're just trying one time. I mean, there'll be times where you're in your studio in the gym for days trying to make one shot.
The editors make it look easy is definitely the reality. I will say, we've only had one shot that's ever taken 2 days. Everything else will get, it's not first try, but it's also not days or weeks. Mm-hmm. It's usually 30 minutes for a stunt. You know, something super crazy might take a couple hours, but we are definitely committed. And once you get into something and you're, you know, 2 hours deep, 3 hours deep, I mean, you just have to finish it, right? Because you're committed and your pride's on the line at that point. And there's totally. Five of us, so we're, you know, jabbing each other, saying, hey, if you can't do this, I'll step in. And it's all the things you'd imagine. But yeah, we don't like giving up.
The camaraderie and the competitive nature is really just amplified for with sure. the five of you. Who dreams and schemes of the tricks? Is it a collaborative effort or?
It's a collaborative effort, but I'll give Tyler a lot of credit. He is a very creative guy. Certainly we all will have ideas and write them down on the notes app on our phone, right? Like you would kind of imagine you wake up in the middle of the night or you're in the shower and you think of something, you're like, oh, I gotta go write this down. But Tyler is super creative and he thinks of everything through his kind of YouTube grid is what he says, puts it through his YouTube mind. And if it works for him, usually it's a pretty good idea. So we have a running list of ideas at this point that, you know, we're trying to get to, and obviously we'll come up with some new stuff on the fly, but we, you know, it's not a textbook process, but we're starting to figure out, you know, the types of things that work. And we'd like to change up our types of videos and new series, and we don't like getting pigeonholed into the one little thing. So we're trying to mix it up and keep people guessing.
I'm a big fan of Wheel Unfortunate, which I know you don't like. You lost a couple of eyebrows and some hair.
I am just glad that someone out there likes it, Paula. I'm glad to be of service in that way. It has become a pretty funny thing around here. There may be a day when the guys tell me somehow they have been rigging it this whole time, and I wouldn't be surprised, but I will say I've been trying to catch them. I mean, I don't think it's rigged. That's why I picked it. It has to be rigged.
You lose every single time.
The odds are hardcore against me for it to be like it has, but every time I pick, you know, I look upset for a second, and then I focus, and I look in that hat, and all the other names are there, and there's not multiple of mine, so... Unless the guys are magicians, it's not rigged, and I just have been on a bad streak. So that probably means that the streak's going to flip at some point. Surely it has to.
I'm hoping. You do look better with eyebrows, by the way.
Thank you. They're back. They're back. But I will say, I went home that night, and my wife bawled. She instantly started crying straight up. Like, there was no, like, oh, babe, it's fine. Like, it's fine. I still love it. She just started crying. I shouldn't admit all this, but hey, we're just friends out here, right? So she starts crying. I'm like, babe, we'll fix it. What do I got to do? And so we drive to the mall and we go in somewhere. And I was like, hey, my wife's freaking out. Yes, I look like a joke. What can you guys do in the makeup store to fix this? And so they bust out something. They try it. And I look at her. I was like, this is worse than.
Wait, are they trying to draw? Are they trying to draw on your eyebrows?
100%. They're trying to fake it and draw it and do it in a way that looked real. Yep. And it was impossible. And so I said, hey, babe, we just gotta suck it up. So for about two full months, you know, people would just see me.
What's wrong with you?
Stare for a second.
They're like, something's off with, oh, he doesn't have any eyebrows.
Not quite yet, but oh yeah, you look crazy.
Yeah.
It was rough.
What does your wife think about the job? Not when you come home with no eyebrows, but overall.
They're super supportive. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like, we're blessed. We've got a great gig. We get to hang out with, you know, some of our best friends and have a good time and do something that, you know, has turned out, like you said earlier, to provide, you know, a lot of good, you know, clean entertainment for people, make people smile and brighten people's days. And so, you know, they married us, most of them, before any of this had started. And so they, you know, would have supported us in anything, but to see, you know, your spouse have a job that they are passionate about and that they really enjoy is awesome. Yeah. So minus some of the penalties or some of the semi-dangerous stuff we somehow get ourselves into, they're all about it.
But I love that it all came down to taking a risk. You guys have your college degrees, but you realize that something's working over here. And so you go for it. And it does feel a little risky. Are there times where you think, what if we hadn't gone for it? Like, how often do you let your mind go there?
I mean, it's more of a, I'm so glad we did take that risk. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think, none of us sit around and regret doing it, obviously. We're loving it. But I think that there are times when you look back and you're like, man, we were on the edge. We almost quit, or we almost, you know, decided that this was too risky, like you said. And
why'd you almost quit?
I mean, there was a period of time, probably 4 years, right after we graduated. My brother and I were doing DuPert full time because we had to have someone doing it full time, and we hadn't gotten married yet. The other three had just gotten married, so we had a little more flex in our schedule. And so we lived in Austin with my parents, who had just moved down there to work at a church. And so we lived, you know, in the house, and I edited, and Kobe worked on the business stuff, and the other three guys lived in Dallas, which is where we currently are. And so they all did their other jobs, and on the weekends, we would drive down from Austin to Dallas and we would film. And we did that for about 4 years. And it's a 4-hour drive, and we did it one, if not two or three times a week. Mm. And it was a huge grind. It was horrible on all of us. I mean, 7 days a week for all of us.
Yep.
With, you know, the first couple of years of marriage, which are not always easy. So that was a grind. And there were points in there where, you know, certainly, you know, had not grown to the point that it is today at that point. And so, you know, it's a lot easier then to go, man, I don't know if this is worth it. And so we would just always take a hard look in the mirror and decide that it was worth it to try and push to that next stage. And fortunately, we all decided at some point, you know, in order to give this a real shot, we all have to quit our jobs and we have to give this a real try. And so Kobe and I said, if you guys will quit your jobs, we'll move from Austin to Dallas. We'll give it a real shot. And so they did. And we got an office. Not the one we're in now, but it was down the street, a little smaller than this, but it was our first time to give all of our full effort and full time to it. And when we did that, it really took off. So
it's incredible.
But
there was risk involved. And so if you can speak to somebody that out there that's contemplating taking a risk, going for something that's on their heart, they've got this dream and this passion, they feel like they might be called to a certain area, but it looks a little scary. Yeah. How can you encourage them?
I don't know that any of us could have walked away and truly, you know, not tried it, right? I think it's one thing if you give something your full effort and you take that risk and you give it a full 2-3 years, not everyone's risks pay off. I mean, that's just the absolute cold hard truth, right? We've all done stuff in our own personal lives that didn't pay off before DP. And so I don't think we could have not tried it, right? We were kind of half in. And things were going okay, but like I was saying, we had to make a change. And so we decided, let's go for it. And it worked out for us. But there are times that it doesn't. But I really think if anyone has a genuine dream, something they're passionate about and also happen to be good at, and you feel like, you know, God's leading you that way, or you just feel like you have to give this a shot, I think you mm-hmm. should. I really don't think, you know, it's something you can sit on the sideline. Life's too short to, you know, to have those types of regrets. So we're all about it. We think people should go for it. I mean, we're living proof that you can have a job that is out of the ordinary.
So true.
It's fun.
Yeah. I was actually reading in the book. It was a quote from Michael Jordan. Oh, fun fact. That's what I love. The book, there's all these fun facts that are sprinkled in, but you talk about risk and going for it. It says, did you know Michael Jordan, arguably the greatest basketball player who ever lived, missed more than 9,000 shots in his career, but it didn't stop him. He's known for saying that the key to success is failure. I think it's so important because we forget that failure is part of it. And even if 100%. You do go for it and it doesn't work out like it has for you, you still don't have to live with the regret of not going for it. There's still something to be learned.
You always learn from your failures. I mean, I was a waiter, silly story, but Kobe and I both at the same time, twin, we did everything together and we both applied to be waiters at Red Lobster.
I waited tables at Red Lobster.
No way. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, your career was probably longer than mine unless it was less than a week, because that's how long
mine was.
Lasted.
More than a week, but I have to say the Cheddar Bay biscuits are
phenomenal.
And they're homemade, especially when they come right out of the oven and you can dunk it in blue cheese dressing or ranch.
Incredible.
World.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. But I spilled a Dr. Pepper on a 3-year-old kid in front of a whole table of moms.
Oh.
And, you know, he was shivering and it was a rough situation. It was not a great way to start. And so I'm pretty sure I was so mortified that I quit. I learned a lot from it. And I think people need to go for it. You have to try different things to figure out what you're really good at and passionate about.
Have you been able to drink Dr. Pepper since?
I have, but I will say I think I was a little scarred on Red Lobster. I've only been back there a handful of times, and it was one of my favorite places before that. So that was a tough scarring experience.
You've talked about your faith a little bit in this podcast, and I don't think you guys shy away from it, but you don't talk about it so overtly, but people know that there's something different about you. Is there anything strategic in how you guys put yourself out there?
We made a decision fairly early on that we wanted to, you know, be open about our faith, right? If anyone ever asks us about it, like you said, we never shy away from it. We are 100% willing to tell anyone that ever asks, you know, what our true hope is in, or what our, you know, goal is, or when will we feel like we've made it. I mean, you know, we get all those questions, but for us, no matter what accolades or, you know, how big the numbers are that people like to talk about, our true hope and has been and always will be in Jesus. And that's the bonding piece of our friendship. The reality is it's pretty easy to figure it out if someone does any level of digging about us at all. So that's kind of how we like to do it. We, you know, we want to be open and inviting for everyone. Of course, that's, you know, how we want to be. And then if anyone looks and dig, then they can certainly figure it out. So no question. We hope and pray that people see something different about us.
Has anyone ever told you guys to tone it down?
We didn't set out to be, you know, this family-friendly brand. That was just who we are because of our faith. And we'll get comments from people every once in a while. The reality is just the honest truth, it's worked out to our advantage because there are so many people, so many families out there that are looking for a trusted source of entertainment. And we just refined our mission statement recently, and it's that we want to be, you know, world-class, the world's most trusted in entertainment. We want it to be trusted and we want it to be world-class. It's the two. We don't want to sacrifice on either, but we feel, you know, if we had to choose a word for DP, it's trust. And we want people to know that they can trust us in anything we're involved in.
You can put parameters on the devices for your kids, but you never know what can leak through. And anytime when I ask them, what are you guys watching? If it's Dude Perfect, I don't worry. Great. I don't worry. I know. And oftentimes I'm like, let me watch two, you know? So, and that's really difficult to do. I know you have young kids, you have like twins and then you have a 1 year old. You guys, you're like in the thick of it. But when your kids grow up, I have a 13, 11 and 7. And so they're consuming a lot of content. Totally. It's difficult. It's if not impossible. Great. I could name on my hand how many trusted sources there are. But you guys are right at the top. You're right at the top. And you guys are staying busy. You're going on tour?
We are. We're back. We were sad. Two summers ago, we did a first, you know, attempt at a live tour. And we went out to 21 cities and had, you know, we're excited, had a bunch of sold out shows, the whole thing. And so now we're doing bigger and better and had to wait because of the COVID. We were going to do last summer, obviously, and got pushed to the fall. So everyone's hung with us. People have kept their tickets and, you know, new people have got them, but we're going back out this time to 30 shows and we're doing, you know, bigger, crazy, you know, 12,000-15,000 person arenas. And
don't it's tell pretty fun. My boys aren't in the room. They're going to come out. Don't tell them, but we're going to take them to the show in Greenville, South Carolina.
That's amazing. Yeah. I just went to Greenville for the first time recently for a wedding. Yeah. It's a great spot.
We moved, my husband and I and our family, we moved from New York City during COVID to a small town. So we're going to bring the boys and my daughter. Like I said, we're all huge fans. How do you balance the fame with your family? Because you all have young kids now. You're all growing your family. And it's like, that's the unfortunate thing when you're in your 30s or 40s. Like your career takes off at the same time your family takes off. So how do you manage that?
Totally. It's tough. I mean, it is tough. We all have young kids. So each of the five of us all have three kids, except for my brother who just had his first. Clap for Kobe, just had his first.
Hilariously. Is that 13 kids between the five of you?
Yeah, sure is. It's insane. Gosh. So whenever we get everyone together, it's exactly what you would imagine it to be.
Hey, let me go get the boys. They have, they're going to throw some fastballs at you with this lightning round.
Let's go.
So JJ, you can ask a couple. You want to ask a couple of these? Yeah, you got to sit here. Okay. Layton, come sit here too.
What's up, JJ? Right. I want some top hard hitting, okay?
All right. Now tell them what we're doing.
We're doing the lightning round.
Ask these three because Landon won't be able to read those. Okay.
All right. Number one, what's your favorite candy?
Oh, Butterfinger. All day.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I feel like it has lost its appeal to some people, but it is a special, special candy.
I like
candy.
It too. All right. What scares you the most?
I do not like the feeling of dropping. Like some roller coasters, if I flip, no problem. If I twist, little dizzy, but it's all good. If I just straight drop down, no thanks. Peace out. Not about it.
All right. What was your favorite battle, like Dude Perfect battle that you were in?
This is a throwback, but we did a video with Luke Bryan, and we were all in kind of these like go-kart, golf cart ATVs, and we drove around. And we had balloons on the top, kind of like Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Bow and arrows and shot it. And I ended up squeaking out a win in that one, and it was so fun to do that with him and the other guys. It was just a really cool setup. That's my favorite.
Okay. That's cool.
Landon wants to ask you a couple. Come here, Landon.
Those
are you
going
to be able to read this stuff, Landy? Come here.
Where is it?
Right here. Can you read this? we're just finishing first grade, so we're still learning how to binge.
Great.
To read. Okay, Landon, right here. This is it says favorite show to binge.
Favorite show to binge?
Oh my, The Chosen. My wife and I are crushing The Chosen right now.
Yes, The Chosen.
Yeah, that's
the
good.
The most like unbelievable, well done version
of
Jesus' life and everything, and it is unbelievable. That, and I am a fan of The Office, not gonna lie. Huge fan. Those two, probably.
Okay, Landon, ask him, what's the one thing he'd take to a deserted island?
What's the one thing you'd take to a desert island?
Deserted
island.
So my go-to dessert? Is that your question?
One thing you'd take to a deserted island.
No, three things.
Oh,
three things.
A deserted island. I was gonna say, what's my top favorite dessert? And the answer to that question that you did not ask was milkshakes. If it's ever on the menu, I order it every time. Back to the deserted island. I mean, obviously I would take a boat, but if that's not my answer, if I'm not allowed to take a boat, then I think I would probably take, maybe I would take a basketball and a basketball goal. You know, if you're just going to be stuck on an island forever, you got to be able to shoot hoops.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Well, it's my favorite.
Which dude is most likely to launch a singing career?
Oh, wow. We should all pray that the answer is not Cody. It is not a gift that God gave him. It's just not. Tyler's our best singer by far. Cody's our worst by far.
I knew it was Tyler.
We did the music video. We did that music video recently, and it pushed all of us to our boundaries, and it was tough, not going to lie. Tyler obviously shined the brightest, and Cody didn't. But it's okay. He doesn't have to be a singer. He's good at other things.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, I have one more. What made you and your Dude Perfect friends want to start Dude Perfect?
Honestly, we were just, you know, best friends living in a house together. We were super competitive, so we, you know, creating games and stuff all the time. And so we really did not put a bunch of thought into it. We were just doing something to us that was fun, just like you do with your friends. And we happened to film it, and, you know, it happened to turn out to be a decent video. And so that is no joke all it was. We were just having fun with our friends. We're competitive guys. And, you know, ended up being kind of a good recipe for a YouTube
group.
That's cool. But definitely didn't have these big, big hopes and dreams of, you know, being famous or doing anything like that. That was never the goal. We just wanted to have fun.
All right, guys. Tell Corey thank you. Tell him he
thank
looks better.
Thank you for having us.
Tell him
thank
he looks
you.
Better with eyebrows.
Yeah, you definitely look better with eyebrows.
Yeah.
Can you get a close-up there? I think they've come back.
How many more times are you going to spin the wheel?
I mean, probably about 1,000 if we're just going off of the past.
Say bye.
Bye.
Say bye to Corey.
Bye. It was great having you.
It was great having you.
Can you guys do a pound it noggin? See you on your way out.
Oh, wait. They want you to do a pound it noggin. Okay,
all right,
here.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Pound it. Noggin. See ya.
Well executed. That's perfect. See you, fellas. Good question.
Thank you, Corey. You guys are a delight, and we're excited to come see you guys in Greenville.
I love it. They're great. Really good to talk to them and to you.
Thank you. God bless you, okay? I'm not sure if you could pick up on it, but their signature goodbye on their videos, which Corey had my boys replicate, they say, pound it, noggin, see ya. But they're a bunch of great guys, and I'm just so grateful for what they're doing and providing content that I can let my kids watch, and I have no concerns of whether or not it's going to be inappropriate. But look, not everyone's risk pays off. As Corey said, it's the cold, hard truth. We've all done things that haven't panned out. But the question you have to ask yourself, can you live with yourself having not gone for it? Dude Perfect couldn't, and that's why they took that leap of faith and they quit their jobs and went for this thing. I want to hear your takeaway on my Instagram. Also, I just announced that I'm hosting a Called Out book club, and I want to know if you want to join the paperback edition of my book, Called Out. It comes out July 20th, so a little later this month, and it includes a free 6-week discussion guide. If you're interested, the 6-week book club, we're going to kick things off September 1st. You can learn all the details by signing up for my newsletter at paulaferrisofficial.com, but I'm really passionate about this message, you guys, because it's something that I'm going through right now, a totally new vocational season, being called to different things, finding out your true gifts and talents, uncovering your purpose, and being called to things that sometimes we don't feel equipped to do, and things that are a little scary. So I hope you can join this book club. Again, go to my website, sign up for the newsletter, and you'll get all the details through the newsletter. All right, so next week, we all compare ourselves to others, don't we? So how can we stop the cycle of comparison? This conversation is going to be so life-giving and freeing. I'm Paula Ferris, and it is an absolute honor to be on this journey with you. And I'll see you next week.